The following message was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lyndale, Texas. For more great teaching or to find information about our church and when we gather, visit our website at fbclyndale.com.
All right, we are in Romans 12, and we're going to be in a couple of different places tonight because we're going to look a little bit more specifically at some of the practical implications of what it looks like to really live out these admonitions, these imperatives in Romans 12. Tom and I have been talking about, you know, there's a lot to try to cover in Romans 12, and rather than him doing five sermons on one verse, we're going to dive into some of the really practical applications of some of these things. So for the next few Sundays, excluding, of course, next Sunday where we have the interview with Dr. MacArthur, we're going to take a look at how to practically live some of these things out. This is, in particular, Romans 12:10 that we're going to look at, where it's, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. So Lord, would you give us humility, humble eyes and ears. Help us to hear and understand what it means to genuinely love, to love well, with a deep and genuine affection, to outdo one another in showing honor. Unify us in this way. Give us power to do this as we seek to honor you in the way in which we honor others. And all God's people said? So, this idea of honor, we're going to dive into a little bit of what that means because, at least in our cultural mindset, honor is not necessarily something that is a major framework for us. There's some cultures that are much more honor, shame. Our culture, we tend to think of things more forensically, right and wrong. And this idea of honor, it's something that is simply given. Of course, it is in some ways deserved, but on the basis of title, and we're going to dive into that. But the first precursor to this, Paul says, love one another with a brotherly affection. Now, if you grew up with a brother, and you think of the affection that your older brother or younger brother might have shown you, that's not necessarily what this passage is talking about. I think to my son and daughter and the little brotherly affection that he seeks to show his sister, sometimes making her upset on purpose, putting things in her hair, all sorts of things. And yet, they get upset whenever they're not able to go places together and do new things together. It's one moment they're just fighting, and the next moment they're like, will you hold my hand? Yes. And they go into new situations together, and it's quite wonderful and beautiful. This term for brotherly affection, it is a familial love. That means it's based upon our unique corporate identity, this identity that we share together as a family, as the body of Christ. We have been adopted as Christians. Every single Christian in this room has been adopted. We've been given a new name. We are a new creation in Christ. And because of that, we are to have this familial love for one another that transcends what I would probably just call as a liking of one another. In premarital counseling, Shelby and I tell young couples all the time, oh my goodness, there will be times where you do not like the other person. Ain't that right, hon? There will be times whenever you don't like the other person, but you definitely love the other person. This kind of love is not based upon how I'm feeling about that individual, but it's because of who that individual is and because of who I am, both of us as a brother or a sister in Christ, that I have a love for them and will seek their welfare, even if they're not being kind about it. Even if there's a level of conflict here. Conflict within the church, I think Tom really wisely said this. It should never be accepted, but it is, it's expected. There's a reason that so much of the New Testament is written to believers saying, hey, would you get along, please? Can you please love one another with a brotherly affection, preferring one another? And so this imperative to love one another with a brotherly affection, again, it's based off of identity. So much of us operate from a place of trying to fulfill our own identity or assign identity to others. Our entire culture is marketed this idea of, well, you are the one who gets to define your identity. And I can't think of anything more terrifying than that. We've received an identity in Christ, and so has your brother and sister across the aisle from you. Those that you get along well with and those that you don't. Those that you have a lot in common with and those that you have almost nothing in common with. One of my favorite small groups we ever got to attend had a couple from Uganda, a military couple from the Northeast, and another couple from Olympia, Washington, and we all had vastly different interests. As a matter of fact, some of us, we were completely different from one another. I mean, some people were really positive people. Some people were absolutely negative people. And it was this incredible just union together because of who we are in Christ, centered around the Word, dining together, caring for one another. So love one another with a brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Okay. As we think about this genuine love, I think Calvin put it in a really good way. He said, it is indeed difficult to express how ingenious almost all men are to pretend a love which they really have not. For they not only deceive others, but impose also on themselves, while they persuade themselves, that those are not loved amiss by them, whom they not only neglect, but really slight. Now, that's a French to English translation. Essentially, he's saying that we are really, really good at fooling ourselves and others, that we actually love another person, whenever in reality, we're demonstrating that we hate them. We don't even really like them. The way in which we see that love is genuine, a genuinely affectionate familial love, is demonstrated by outdoing one another, this means of giving preference to one another in showing honor. It's a little bit of an interesting translation to outdo one another. There's a couple of ways in which it could be handled, but more literally it is to go before, to go ahead. Tom also said we should be the front of the line to be at the back of the line. We should be at the front of the line to show honor to other people. So to go ahead and making sure that, look, the way in which I'm loving you is a way in which I'm also leading you to Jesus. You and I are leading people either towards or away from Christ. There is no middle ground. So to seek to outdo one another, to seek to be first in showing honor, really must come first and foremost from this understanding that I'm to honor God as my Father, and then you as my brother or my sister. This term honor, it's kind of synonymous with respect, but in a more literal sense, it's giving what is due. In the same way that we are to honor our mother and father, even whenever our mother and father are not always doing honorable things, for which parent is perfect, because they hold the title of mother and father, there's a way in which we are to treat them, to speak to them, to care for them. In the same way, because you and I are the household of faith, there's a way in which we are to care for, treat for, and speak to one another. I think a really good descriptor is found in Philippians. It's Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or vainglory, but with humility of mind, regarding one another as more important than yourselves. Not merely looking out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So verse 3, it's this idea of I'm going to regard others as more important than myself. I'm going to seek to serve them rather than to serve myself. This idea of selflessness, it's all wrapped up in what we would define, I think, as genuine humility. C.S. Lewis defines it this way. I said this in a sermon a few weeks back, but he said, to be humble is not to think less of yourself, but it's to think of yourself less. Any of you ever seen the movie Hook? Anybody with Robin Williams? That movie? Okay. And Smee is trying to get all of the treasure and everything because everything's being attacked by Peter Pan and all of those guys. And he's like, Smee, wait, what about me? What about Smee? And so then he starts grabbing stuff for himself. And that's how we get. We honestly get so selfish and we're focused on ourselves, especially in the midst of crisis, that we forget that the objective God has given us is to love my brother or sister with a familial love. In the same way that I am to love my child by preparing them before they go outside, please put on your shoes. 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 They're sticker burrs. In the same way that I need to run to help my brother or my sister who is in trouble. That's the way in which we are called to show genuine love. But we can only do that if we recognize that we have much need to be helped, and that the only way in which we can give that love is if we receive that love from the Father. Because your patience will wear thin. My patience will wear thin. Our patience with one another will wear thin. But God is patient. A never-ending source of patience and mercy we can run to. And so, as we think now about these practical ways to show honor, this respect, this understanding that you are my brother or sister, God is my Father, and I want to honor Him by the way in which I treat you. We have to again and again and again, and I say this again and again and again because Paul says it again and again and again, not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And in doing so, we will begin to notice the needs that others have. I think this is really outlined well in several aspects of our church covenant. One aspect, it's we will fellowship by acting in love and seeking reconciliation with one another. To act in love is to act in a selfless manner, a caring manner. A manner in which we have received from God. This is what it says in 1 John 4:11 through 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. And to seek reconciliation with one another means to seek unity, especially whenever there's been two offended parties. And I guarantee you, it takes two to tango. It's usually, especially in marital conflict, not one right person and one wrong person. Sorry, ladies, I know you are mostly right 99% of the time. But it usually takes two to tango, y'all. Usually it's the both of us thinking that we are right. But if I'm genuinely loving God, am I genuinely loving the other person, then I'm going to go before God in humility and say, oh Lord, you know my heart. Would you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, reveal to me the sin that's in my heart that has contributed to this conflict? Would you reconcile me and this individual? Now, some of us have been in the church for a long time and would claim to have irreconcilable differences with a brother or sister. Hear me when I say this. You are in very dangerous territory and you are in sin. I know the hurt may be. The pain may be deep. We're commanded to seek reconciliation. And it is good for us to do so. I'll never forget, there was an instance where I had to go to a party of, you know, whenever you're our age, you go to little kids' parties all the time, and there was going to be a couple there that really hurt us during church planting in Washington. And whenever I was there, there was this moment where I was working in my own heart, like, oh man, I don't want to be here with these folks. And I was convicted. If I'm not willing to give the shirt off of my back for that person who is a Christ follower, then I'm in sin. It's like a 2x4 to the head, isn't it? But this is how we're to love one another and seek reconciliation with one another. Because God's way is better than our own. His love is better than our own. Another practical way is under the tag in our covenant, we will serve by cultivating a servant's heart. Now, as an amateur farmer, I like the term cultivating. Cultivating takes time. Look, we've been here almost a year now, and we've tried to grow a garden in sandy loam. You know what I'm talking about? And it is hard. So guess what? We're ripping everything out and we're going to address the soil. We're going to plant a cover crop. We're going to do what we can to get the soil healthy so that we can cultivate it. It takes time and work and energy and lots of sweat right now. So much sweat. Oh man. 5 gallons of water. To cultivate a servant's heart takes time. It's this goal, this aim. Lord, would you cause my heart to be at a place where I see the needs of others and I seek to fill those needs as you have gifted me to do so, because you have not just said, okay, you're saved now go and do whatever you want. You've actually given me spiritual gifts for the serving of the body. Would you cultivate in my heart the ability to see those needs and to step into those needs and serve, even to and especially to the point where I must ask for more. If we get to generosity and giving, we're going to talk a bit about that. But I will say this, brothers and sisters, we should love in such a way that we must always go to the Father and ask for more love. We should give in such a way that we must always go to the Father and ask for more to give. This is the call of the Christian. It is a selfless and sacrificial familial love. By doing so, we depend on God, and I guarantee you, He meets every need. This is why Jesus so confidently said, you know, seek the kingdom. And all of these things that you're worried about, food, what you're going to wear, all these things will be added to you. Seek the kingdom first, because He's about building His kingdom. Fantastic example of that is Jacob in Genesis. You think God blessed Jacob because he was such a stand-up guy? Does anybody remember studying Genesis in Sunday school? I think we can all understand that God wasn't like, you know what, you're such a great guy. He blessed Jacob for the building of his kingdom. And part of that was not leaving Jacob alone. Part of that was revealing his sin to him. Seek the kingdom in the way that you serve others. I think the perfect example is found in Philippians 2, 4 through 8. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even on a cross. This is the preeminent Son of God with the Father for all eternity, who condescended to us, who came down to us and suffered with us and for us, and for the glory of God. And this is the mind that Paul says that we are to have among one another and how we are to serve one another. If you're ever wondering what does it really mean to be a disciple, or to be, how can I get more active in being a member here at FBC? You don't necessarily have to sign up for an official role. Look at the membership covenant and ask yourself, am I living this out? It's a really helpful tool. It's there on purpose for us to say, you know what, this is what it really means to be a committed member of this church. It's a helpful reminder. Cultivate a servant's heart. Be looking for the ways in which you can meet the needs of others. Now, there's some very, very practical ways that you can do this. Very practical ways. One of them is simply encouraging a brother or sister. You see brothers and sisters in your lives who are suffering or who are needing help. Maybe it's a mom of young children who is really, really tired. You can go and encourage her in the way that you see her caring for her children. Maybe it's a young man who's seeking diligently to serve his family, having multiple jobs, and yet still making time to disciple his children. Go and encourage that man. Maybe it's somebody who is just sweeping up the church, stacking chairs. Go and encourage them in the way in which they're serving. Actively look for people using the gifts God has given them, and then say, I see that. And then go up to him and be like, thank you so much, brother or sister, for doing this. I want you to know it's meaningful. That's one way in which we show honor. It's very simple. But before you do that, give thanks to God for the work that he's doing through them. This is the way in which we show genuine honor, is we come before God and we give thanks to him for our brother and sister and the unique giftings that they have received. Say, God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for gifting Jeremy Meyer with an incredible ability to work sound tech for us. Because I sure don't have that gifting. Thank God for those people. And then go and encourage them in the service that they're doing diligently. Do what you can to aid them in those things. If you know a person who cooks often for our church, think of fun and unique gifts that you can give them to help aid them in that service. It's a really great way to show honor. Somebody likes flipping burgers, get them a golden spatula. You know, maybe not a golden spatula, but you know what I mean. There are so many things that you can look for and say, I see this person diligently laboring for the sake of the kingdom. I want to help them out. I want to honor them. It could be just something as simple as, I know this individual likes white lilies. This person might be in the hospital. This person might be living alone. You show up to their house and you give them something beautiful and say, hey, I was thinking about you and I'm praying for you. You show them honor in that way. I will never forget years ago in Nacogdoches as a youth group, we went to the hospital. This was pre-COVID, before everything was all shut down. Granted, Texas didn't have that nearly as much as Washington did, but we could actually go into the hospital and we had a whole bunch of flowers and we just stopped by different rooms asking people if they wanted flowers and if we could pray for them. And it was so impactful. There were so many people who were like, oh my goodness, thank you. Thank you for this. Something as simple as a phone call for a brother and sister you haven't seen in a while. Checking in on them. Show honor. Think about their needs. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you how you can serve the body. And, you know, it doesn't just happen by you creating a checklist. It really has to come from this place, this deep-seated honor and reverence for God and for who he has made as an image bearer. There was one instance that sticks out in my mind clearly. We were trying to find a place to put our tiny house on wheels. I told you this is going to be a more applicational message here. And this couple who owned a farm that we volunteered on said, hey, you could put it here. And we're like, wonderful, great. And so we put it there, and I run the septic line. And if anybody has ever done that for an RV or a tiny house, you know that you have to have a proper fell to it. And if it's just a hair off, all sorts of things can happen. And one night, 10 or 11 p.m. in the night, those sorts of things happened. Second day of us living there. And Dean, the farmer, he comes out. He's 80, maybe 85 or 86. retired first sergeant. He was a judge in the military. I mean, up there, very accomplished man. He came out, he helped me and tried to fix everything, and I was able to get under there and get a proper fell, but at first, he was so frustrated and upset, and I thought he was frustrated and upset because I was getting stuff all over his property. I'm over here like, oh no, man, like, you don't want this on your farm? And he said, I just really wanted to have a nice place for y'all. This man's a Christian. We didn't go to the same church. I mean, my goodness. I'm this young man who parked this big metal thing on his property, and his first thought was, I wanted to give you guys a good place to be. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in Dean's life. There are so many ways in which this principle of showing honor overlaps with all of the things that will come next. Because notice, showing honor has a direct tie to service. It has a direct tie to giving generously, brotherly love. It has a direct tie to all of these things. And so I don't want to go into all of them as of yet, because we're going to go in more in depth as time goes on. But this idea of rejoicing with others as they rejoice, mourning with those who mourn. This is yet another way that we show honor. I think Tom did a wonderful job this morning illuminating, look, this is bound by clinging to what is good and abhorring what is evil. But if somebody you know is going through suffering and they are mourning, be with them. Check in on them. I mean, we're Baptists. Bring them a casserole, for goodness sake, you know? Be there for them. If somebody just got a job or a raise at their job, rejoice with them. Praise God with them. Brother or sister, do you know how wonderful this is? God has answered your prayers. Always direct it back to the Lord's providence. We get so self-focused, so self-centered, that we only rejoice in what we want to rejoice in. We only mourn in what we want to mourn. There's no joy quite like rejoicing with a brother or sister who has received something they have been praying for a long time. And there's no stronger bond made in those moments in life whenever you have a close brother or sister come and rejoice with you or weep with you and mourn with you and encourage you. So this is not just behavior modification. This is not just a set of do's and don'ts or here's how you behave. This must first ultimately come from a deep-seated honor and reverence of God, and then a deep-seated honor and reverence for those who bear his image. This is not just, now this text I think is really clearly talking about within the church, but you do have in 1 Peter 3:16, always be willing to give an answer for the hope that is within you, yet do so with gentleness and reverence or kindness. We are called to give honor to every human life, dignity. This is why we fight for the rights of the unborn. And so the way in which we treat outsiders is important as well. Not completely writing them off because they disagree with us or we disagree with them, but letting our conversations be seasoned with salt. There we go. Not going to touch this again. Or as our church covenant says, leveraging our opportunities wisely with unbelievers. All in all, this must be bathed in prayer. You and I need to go before the Lord and ask Him to humble us, ask Him to show us the ways in which we can serve and the giftings He's given us, to be aware of the ways others need help, and then we actually need to be together. You're not going to see your brother or sister's needs if you're not regularly with them, and more than just Sunday mornings. This is why a lot of our Sunday schools, I'm very pleased to know, have small groups, means by which people are able to gather together throughout the week to know one another, to be involved in one another's lives, and to know and understand the needs that each of us have. At the end of the day, we must honor God first in order to truly honor one another well. To honor others well, we must first honor God who made them. And we should give thanks to the Father for the glorious gift of the church. For in the same way that you are called to show honor, Lord willing, from brothers and sisters as we work together, you will receive it. You will receive love. You will receive mercy. I think the last great example I will give, and then we will pray and seek to honor our brothers and sisters in the way that we pray for them, is the way in which my family has been treated since coming to FBC Lyndale. We have had so many people seek to care for us, invite us into their homes, make us food, give me coffee. Looking at you, Jason. He makes a pot of coffee every day in the office. But you can't come, only me. But the way in which we've been treated has been a demonstration of the culture of this church, which is generally to seek to honor one another. There's a little over 40-something people in here. If we were to take seriously this call, every single one of us, to go and find somebody to love in a familial way, showing them honor, this church, I mean, my goodness, it would grow continuously in a depth that we have never seen before. And, you know, praise God. Who would have thought that whenever we take a look at his word and live it out, those things would happen? I see this here and now. I've gotten to know many of you. And it's a beautiful sight to behold. There are times as a pastor, whenever you want to step in and help fix the problem, and then you see somebody praying with somebody else in a corner room, and you're like, no, that disciple has it. They're taking care of that person. That's a huge blessing. So let's continue. Let's take it seriously. Let's love one another with a familial love because we are adopted sons and daughters of God. And this is our family. Lord, would you please give us wisdom to love one another well, to care for one another in a familial love, to show honor to one another, to give preference to one another, to seek to help others above our own selves, to not be first in line, but to make sure our brother and sister goes ahead of us, to think of how we can serve before we think of how we can be served. Humble us, Lord. Humble us and enable us to receive your love that we might give it. We would understand that we have no standing before you aside from Christ the righteous, and that you are transforming us more and more into his image. All God's people said,